your Fresno podcast, where we talk about all things Fresno, because we love Fresno. This is Joshua Teehee, a.k.a. Famous Whitewater, with me, as always, Mike C. of the Dorktown
Network. Hey!
Hello!
Fresno!
Fresno! We're
Fresno.
Back!
Fresno! Fresno! Fresno!
Fresno! Woo! Fresno.
Shut up. Don't ever do that joke.
Oh. We've been away for a little bit and some stuff has happened, but we'll try to cover our tracks and talk about some of that
we're
cool
back
stuff.
In the studio together.
In the studio, yeah.
Dorktown Studios.
This is where it all happens.
Yeah.
This is what people want.
Yeah. Yeah. There's lots of clamoring on social media.
Right.
Get back at the studio!
Where have you guys been? So, where do you want to start? With the Fresno things.
Oh, man. Well,
there's so much.
The zoo.
That's a good place to start.
It's open now. The African.
The African Adventure.
It is now open.
You have not been yet.
I haven't been yet.
Okay. I got to go out.
I don't go during the first week because of crowds.
Okay, I get that. I understand. Yeah. I probably won't go.
Yeah, you don't go during the day. You only go at night.
I don't go ever. Zoo lights. Whenever that happens, I'll go. And I don't think the African Adventure will be open.
You got to put up lights if I'm going to come, bro.
Right. I need some lights. But I did get to go. See, this is awesome. Job perk. Spoiler alert. My job perk. I get perks from it.
Yeah.
And one of
you
them
get to
is
get inside
I get
places.
To go see places.
That's
so
really,
I got to
the
go
only
in.
Perk of being media is you get to get inside places
right. that,
before other people, and you can correct. Once in a while get to talk to a celebrity.
That is, those are the two things that I get.
Yep. Yes.
So I went to the zoo. It opened on a Sunday, like soft opening, you know, Monday. And I went in on the Friday before and got to check it all out. And it wasn't quite done yet. You know, they were still putting in some work, but it is amazing. It's like Jurassic Park in there. You know, it has that feeling, you know, where like you walk in and there's this just wide expanse and there's like, wildebeest chilling out and giraffes in the background and like, you know, there's elephants over there and tigers over there lions over there and, you know, and everything's just like out there. And it's not like the normal zoo where it's like, oh, here's a cage and inside that cage is something.
Here's the animal's cage.
In there somewhere is an animal. And maybe you can find it.
I think that's it back
right.
there.
Look at it. It's not like that, you know. It's just this wide open area and all the animals are chilling out, doing their own little animal thing. And, you know, maybe the lions are on the rock just sunning themselves, or maybe they're like trying to look at all the other animals, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All of the enclosures are separated, right? So you have like one like big savanna area, which is like the wildebeest and the birds and stuff, and not the zebras. I don't know. Whatever. All the hooved animals, you know, the antelope and all that crap. I don't know if there's antelope or not, but you know. And then you have the lions.
I think there are.
The lions have their own little thing, and they're separated by this big like kind of trench, you know, big barrier.
Oh, okay.
But they can easily see the other
right.
into the other thing. So there's not like there's a wall or anything. It's
they
just
can't.
Like,
there's just a trench that they're smart enough
like
to not.
Like a barrier, you know. And I think there's it's not like a full wall, but there's a fence and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So they can't get. It's like a 17-foot barrier. And then on the other side, there's the elephants, you know. And they are separated by another wall, but it's like in like buried within the the water. There's like a little lake in the middle of the thing, and there's a wall there. And so I think the giraffes are actually part of the, you know, the big thing. And then the cheetahs are kind of separated on their own little thing, and that's more of an enclosure. But it's still very much like the cheetahs can look through and see everything else, and it's really cool. It's very much like the one in San Diego, Adventure Park in San Diego. It's that kind of feel.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool. It's really awesome. And I think, you know, eventually they're going to have a thing where you can actually get into a Jeep and they'll, like, take the Jeep out and you can actually, like, drive in.
Yeah, yeah.
They have a really awesome, they call it the Lodge. And it sits, like, out kind of in the exhibit.
Uh-huh.
So you can actually, like, get some food, get a coffee or whatever, and go and sit and actually be like inside the exhibit, you know, right, fairly close to the animal.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
That's what looked cool in the thing. I didn't know that was going to be open already. Oh, too. I thought it was just the... Yeah. That's cool.
It's very much... So this is
beer?
Like...
Is there beer there?
I don't know. I don't think there's beer.
Oh.
I don't
think
so.
Probably not a good idea, I
Maybe
guess.
Someday.
Yeah.
Huh, I didn't even think to ask. That's a good question.
Though. Yeah.
It's very much, you know, like the Sealand Cove, like that kind of experience. Right. It's like that.
Pro, but, it's pro, bro.
But yeah, but pro, bro. All of Africa. So it's really cool, man. It's, no additional fee, you know, so it's, you know, it's just part of the zoo. So you just pay, you go in. It's really cool, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited. I think
it's a nice addition.
It is. It's like that
to
Measure
the zoo and to Fresno.
That Measure Z money that people were all excited about went to
going
good use.
To good.
Yeah,
going yeah, to they're good using use. It properly.
I think so. Yeah,
there's not without a little bit of controversy.
There
though,
was some controversy.
A baby giraffe that was born there.
A baby giraffe that died.
Yeah. It wouldn't have happened in the old. Becky was telling me, and I was like, I don't want to hear anymore.
Right.
This
is done.
I can't deal with it. I didn't even read about it. All I know is it hit its head, and it was basically kind of spooked. It was during their VIP, where they had a lot of VIP.
Membership party, VIP party.
Yeah, so it was a lot of activity going on, and it got spooked, and... hurt itself that way. So like there's like a group now that's like, hey, you guys are worrying more about VIP and events.
PETA was all mad
and not and not taking care of the animals properly. So I don't
I read that, you know, and like I think that's all bullshit, because anyone who's met people who work at the zoo, or at least from my experience of people I know who work at the zoo, and then just meeting people that work there in the little bit of time, like, I am sure that this thing was a bigger tragedy to them than to anyone else. You know, this is their animal. This is like,
it was born at the first zoo.
So I bet, you know, any person out here who's getting all indignant about it, the people at the zoo feel way worse than you do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because they actually care for these animals. So, you know, I think there probably is some question of like, okay, were the animals ready to have this sort of event? But I think the zoo probably did all due diligence to make sure it was okay. And, you know, they had people coming through the exhibit previous to that, so it wasn't like this was the first time people
first time
were coming
people
through
were there.
And it might have been a bigger group, and you know, I mean, one of the things they actually told me was like the animals are still getting acclimated to the exhibit, and some of the animals like have never even seen the other species of animals there, you know, so yeah, there's a whole lot that's happening. And so it was probably just one of those things where it was like the worst case scenario of all the things happening at one time, and
because there was a couple other animals not related to the new exhibit that one of the other animals killed the other animal in
it was an anteater
enclosure. Yeah, the anteater.
How does an anteater kill anything?
I don't know,
other than ants.
And that's
freaky.
They had been together for a while. Like it wouldn't been they weren't a new thing or something. They had been together for and then.
So yeah, I don't know. It's
crazy.
So that happens right there
at the opening. You know,
it was bad timing. So and there was some, you know, I think PETA. There was definitely a group that was very kind of vocal online, and you know, trying to make it seem like the zoo was just, hey, we're having this huge party. Nobody look over there at the dead animal. Like they were being. But I don't think that's really how it was at all.
Well, yeah, I think your point kind of trumps all argument. Like these. Nobody is dealing with this harder
than
the people there actually working. So
because they really care for the. I mean, you can.
I don't think those the work. You know, maybe there's a board that might think differently, but the actual people that work with the animals aren't going to allow people in if they thought it was a bad decision.
Right. Yeah.
I would hope that they trump any other. Decision makers there at the zoo, like if they say no, They can't handle.
Aren't ready, right?
The animals aren't ready for people. I would hope the board would be like, oh, okay, well, we'll do it when you guys say we're ready.
Yeah, and I feel like personally, I don't think they would have opened if they didn't feel that they were ready and that the animals had been in the enclosures long enough and all that stuff. So, but this is
because I think they even were. They're getting acclimated longer than they had even had originally planned out because they finished construction earlier.
Right, yeah.
So I think they actually were in there longer than they had thought.
Yeah, I think they'd been in there a couple of weeks. I mean, so they had been in the enclosures, like in their staying areas or wherever where the animals are kept, you know, for a long time because that's actually where they did quarantine because they had to – most of the animals were brought in from other zoos, brought in from other places, right?
Yeah.
And so they had to be quarantined for a certain amount of time. And that all happened, within their, little enclosure spot. Mm-hmm. So they've been in the area for a long time, you know? So, but this is really cool. If you haven't been to the zoo a long time,
yeah, I'm looking
many
forward
new
to it.
Animals, you
looking
know?
Looking forward
so,
to going.
And just really, really cool.
It's
and,
just nice that we have a nice thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Fresno, and, you know? And not even nice. It's not even that it's nice. I mean, it's like nicer than probably 90% of the stuff that's around. You
right.
know? In the
zoo.
Yeah.
Zoo,
in the nation.
Zoo community.
Yeah. You know. And yeah, it's just, it's really.
That's
cool,
why I was
man.
Saying that one of our previous episodes, how. There was an article about how the Fresno Chaffee Zoo is drawing employees from across the nation, that high-end employees that see the zoo as being one of the better places to be working
in. Right, yeah. And another cool thing is because this is still part of the other zoo, it's just part of the zoo, it's not like its own thing, you are going to see if you go to the zoo and you just want to see the normal exhibits, it's going to be better for you, you know, because now there's more space.
There's more space for the other stuff.
It will be able to handle more people coming
through. So the elephants are out there and the new, are they in their
different
old
Different elephants.
Oh, they're different.
Right. So,
they're still the same elephants in the other
elephant,
old enclosure?
Those are the Asian elephants.
Oh, okay.
Smaller ears and smaller head. The African elephants are in the new part. So now we have two types of elephants.
Whoa, look at us.
Yeah, we have both types.
What do you want? You want this? You want that? I got it all for you.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's really cool. And eventually, I think, you know, the plan will be to make everything like that, you know? So, I think...
Right. Yeah, what's the next... Now that this is...
Well, so there's more expansion.
Left?
There's more expansion to the African part. And they're going to add, this... So, there's still area that's undeveloped in the African part. And it will have kind of like a river, and there'll be crocodiles and hippos and stuff. So that's going to be, I think, the
hippos
next.
Will come back to the zoo.
Yeah, so there'll be hippos and crocodiles. And so that'll be in that area still. And then I think they're going to start moving back to the other side and redoing the Asian part, you know, the tigers and the Asian elephants and stuff. And so I think that eventually, you know, we'll have a whole... new zoo. And I mean, right now, they're just sort of like, we're done. We're going to rest for a bit. But, you know, the money that was used to make this was money from the last Measure Z.
Okay.
Before we passed it again.
The second version.
So, yeah. So that's all of this is from money from the past. So now we'll have a whole new set of Measure Z funds that we'll be able to do new stuff with.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. I'm very excited for the zoo. There it is. Go to the zoo. If you haven't been, it's open now.
It's open now.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. We got to do a little politics.
Politicking.
Clint, we're very thankful for Clint Olivier and Brandow, man. We get to talk about these guys. They give us great content. Stuff.
Clint
What's
Olivier,
Clint up
man?
To right now?
Well, so, okay. Clint Olivier has a, and I'll have to look it up the exact, so he's a...
He's got a plan
for
our homeless
problem. He wants to stop homeless. Well, no. He wants to stop vagrancy.
Mm.
He had this article, I guess it was an op-ed piece in the Bee the other day. And
you're not in the editorial department, but do they, when a councilman or some government official wants to do an op-ed, do they just like, oh, okay, yeah. Or do they ever deny, like, a councilman has an article?
I don't know.
And they're like, eh.
I don't know that for certain. I would think that they probably... I don't know.
Because I always thought about that when you see... like a councilman, Olivier or something, like, do they just like, oh, put it through. Councilman wants to post something.
I think they probably do. They probably take as many of these kind of things as they, you know. I don't know for sure. If it was something that was like super crazy,
right?
Like, you know, I don't know what it could be.
They'd probably come back and say, maybe you could edit this for probably, us.
Yeah. So, so Clint Olivier, 6 ways to battle Fresno's destructive vagrants. And so, you know, his idea is, so I guess starting.
Does he have a cool name for it? Olivier Plan?
No. Is there I think it's just called the 6 ways to battle.
The 6 ways. So
his whole thing
it's like
is
a BuzzFeed article.
Right, yeah.
Top 6 ways to battle homelessness in Fresno.
So he has this whole thing, and I make the distinction of between homelessness and vagrants because that he does that, right? So his whole thing is like
you're using his verbiage.
That there are homeless people and there are vagrants, you know, and like homeless people are just people that like down on their luck and like they don't want to be on the streets, but you know they are, but if you help them they'll get off the streets, whereas vagrants are like dirty disgusting people who are on the streets because that's where they want to be and they're gonna poop on things and steal your car stereo and steal the copper wire from your watches or whatever. I don't know. right? So he's trying to, like, set the two different things, you know? So, like, we're not talking about the people who we can help. We're talking about the people who don't want our help, who want to make our lives worse by being dirty and pushing shopping carts. So he has this 6... If you haven't, you should go to thefresnobee.com and find it so you can read it for yourself. Because it actually is interesting. Because I think he's coming from the right place, which is like he sees all this stuff happening, and I think we all see it, right?
And
like,
his district is heavy with it.
So. And I think that we all see it. Like, I mean, I think it's impossible. I don't think that you can say we don't have a problem with, and I don't even want to say problem because I don't want to put like bad connotations, but there are homeless people.
It's a general, every city problem.
Right. So it happens. He's getting a lot of calls about it, I think, because for whatever reason, it seems like it's more in your face, now than it had been in the past.
Okay.
I don't know. Is that fair? Is that a fair assessment?
I don't know.
Because it feels like it to me, but...
It feels like
If
I were to look back 10 years, jumped back to the future, Back to the Future is now in the past.
Yeah, Back to the Future.
I would say like, oh, wow, there's a lot more homeless. It does feel like that.
Right.
But it's like a slow boil, so it's hard to really tell.
Well, and also... I exist in every place that I go. So I live downtown. I work downtown. I do study martial arts at a place that is on Ashland 99 over by a recycling center. The places I go are heavy with these probably more prone to these problems. So I see it all the time. And it feels to me like it's more visible.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's because now, I am more entrenched in the places where it's happening.
Yeah.
If it's just that my eyes are more open to it than when I was, you know, cause when you're 20 or whatever, you're just living your life.
Like, yeah. And you're like, you know, you're totally just like, yeah, here's a couple bucks, bro.
I'm right.
Like,
oh. And you don't, and like,
you get all your, kind of don't look at it.
And because you're not, because you're not so entrenched in your neighborhood, maybe it doesn't matter because you don't really have a feeling of like, this is my neighborhood. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether
true.
Or not.
Yeah. I definitely, as a homeowner,
right.
And especially in my old neighborhood, where actually, you know, homeless people will be walking by the house. And you definitely thought about more like sometimes there would be a shopping cart left on the side. Right. And I'm like, now I have to deal with right. this shopping cart that some jackass just left here. So it is definitely different when you own or where you living, like, this is my home,
right.
whether you own or not, where you're just like, this is my home, this is my neighborhood, and you kind of think of it differently than right. when you're in your 20s and you're just kind of, you know, every 6 months you're going to a different
right,
apartment
right.
or something.
Sure, right. And so you don't see things the same way. So he put forth the six sort of, he says, common sense measures that will immediately begin to remove the chokehold that vagrants have on our city. And we can talk about his verbiage in this thing if we want later, because mm-hmm. it's very much like sort of demonizing a certain set of people. And I think it's probably a smaller set of people than he's making it out to seem like. So like a lot of people are saying that he's totally like fear mongering, and I kind of feel like that is what he's doing, because I don't think that the number of people who are doing the types of things that he says is as big as he thinks
right.
it is. Okay,
yeah.
But whatever. So one, increase the Fresno Police Department's homeless task force from 5 to 12 officers. Okay.
Sounds good.
Implement and staff a citywide park ranger program to patrol our parks and park restrooms, which have become dens for drug use and filth. you know, I agree with that. And like, okay, you want to put staff people to make sure,
yeah,
to clean up and get people out mm-hmm. of restrooms. Okay. Have they become dens of drug use and filth?
It's a little stretchy.
I mean, I'm sure some have. Okay.
Yeah.
But on that point, I say
I don't. Yeah, I think everyone would probably agree with that, yeah. except for it's like, how do you? I would think,
well,
like
how
everybody,
do you,
how would you pay
right.
for that? Like, well, they would already be doing that yeah. if we could afford to.
Begin a public information campaign to discourage residents from giving cash to panhandlers and instead donate to community organizations that fund homelessness services. I mean, I think that's a good one, and that's in line with what the mayor has been doing
yeah.
For a while. So, you know, yeah, I think that's a good
mm-hmm.
idea. I also think, look, if you have a dollar, someone asks you for a dollar, you give a dollar to someone, it's not the fucking end of the world.
No.
Like, you know, you are not you are not enabling that person by giving them a dollar, really.
Yeah.
You're not. You know, yeah. I mean, maybe it adds up. I don't think it does. Okay. Begin outreach campaign to neighborhood recycling centers, asking them to immediately cease accepting recyclables from vagrants. So this is where we begin to get into this thing of like sort of criminalizing specific uh-huh. sorts of people. But
so wait, what's he want to do?
So he's essentially saying that so there's recycling centers
yeah.
In neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Well, recycling centers. And he's saying we need to ask recycling centers to not take recycling from people who they see as vagrants.
Oh, God.
So if someone comes in with a shopping cart and a bunch of recycling cans or whatever,
yeah.
Don't
I mean,
turn them away, is what he's saying.
Yeah, that's just as a retail worker, you know, that's just, I can't, I immediately put my head in the place of that
right.
employee, and I'm like, no way do I want to deal with, like, nope, you're okay.
You're
no,
okay.
No, get out of here. Like,
right.
telling some dude, like, no,
I don't even
I'm
know.
Not going right. to take your recycling,
right.
bro. Like, you can't make a guy making
right.
$10 an hour to, like, decide
right.
whether this guy deserves to get
to
his,
get his right.
to sell his.
Well, and, I mean,
aluminum.
Look. If you've ever been to a recycling center, and I have, and like I am around a recycling center often, just and I've talked to people who work there, they have so many. Have you ever been to a recycling center and tried to recycle something? Like, you got to give a thumbprint. They have, like, ID. There's, like...
Because of copper thieves and stuff.
It's one
of those big places, yeah.
Yeah. And so, they're like, you know, they have their things in place that they have to deal with.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that, like, all of these places, would rather not deal with, like, these vagrant, and I use that quotes, but, like, these...
Right, well, like, it's their business. They can decide, like, hey, I don't... This guy, get out of here, dude. You're too much trouble. That's their right to do that. Yeah. You can't have... I mean, Republicans, as Olivia is, hate, like, government. Good. Like it,
right.
And this is government getting involved in a business.
This is that kind of thing. And it's like, I don't understand how that would even work. Like, how you would be able to, like, say, no, sir, I guess you would have to ask when they come in to recycle something.
Do you have address? Have
a proof of address.
Yeah. That's,
you know,
you can't.
And then again, like,
that would shut down the whole income flow to.
Probably. I mean, that would probably...
You're basically just saying, if you're homeless, you can't recycle.
Right, and it would probably put those places out of business.
I think so.
Number three, conduct an immediate sweep to reclaim stolen shopping carts from vagrants.
There's already businesses that, like, there's guys that do that, go around
trucking. Well, but they're not supposed to be, I mean, maybe they do, able to. So, like, if I'm a vagrant, I have a shopping cart. He's actually saying, go out with the police, I guess. And if you see someone with a shopping cart, take their shopping cart from them.
he's wanting everyone to be. He's deputizing the town, apparently.
I mean, I don't know.
You got to tell people you can't recycle here.
Right.
Now you got to take shopping carts away from homeless people.
And I think that we've actually tried that before. And I'm not sure that it worked, because what do you do? I mean,
yeah,
I just don't understand how that works, because there's a lot of people. Well, first of all, in what I have seen, shopping carts aren't really the thing anymore.
Oh,
like, no, they're not.
What's the end thing now?
You get a bicycle.
Okay.
And then you,
jerry rig a cart.
On the back.
Yeah.
Right? And these guys, man, so here's the thing about these vagrants. These dudes are smart. Like, some of the stuff that I've seen them, like, cobble together is just
engineers.
Right. And I'm like, man, you guys, if you put this sort of effort, you know, like, I would
somewhere
just
else.
Sell that, you
right.
know, sell that to all your other, yeah. All the other people out there, because
maybe there's entrepreneurs. Come on, man.
I mean, really, because
start
some of
this
stuff, like, is really, like, I saw a guy the other day, he had a motor, like one of those motorized bicycles, and he had this, like, awesome, and he had it stacked up full with stuff. I don't know exactly
what was in there,
but, and then the last one is convene a committee consisting of the mayor, city manager, city staff, council members, and community leaders, similar to the Blight Task Force, to work toward comprehensively addressing vagrancy. So, and I think that's a good one. So, I think, like, if you look at this, of the six, you know, I think three or four are really good. And two are like, I see where you're going with these.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's really what we need to do. I mean, the difficulty here, and my problem with it is, like, you're treating homeless people as if, like, somehow they're living the good life out there, stealing your copper, and
they're,
you
just
know,
living it up out there.
You know, I mean, really, that's and
time to shut the fun train's over. Get off the fun train, homeless guy. Clint Olivier's in town.
I mean, and I know that he probably doesn't think that, you know, but that's sort of the feeling that you get, like, that somehow, you know, that. There are people out there, I'm sure, who, like, are using drugs and, you know, stealing copper wire and, you know, pooping every place and just, you know, peeing on stuff. I've seen it.
I've seen it in San Francisco way more.
Well, right. And, you know, to me, like, I see the tent set up, you know, and it's like, to me, that's fine. You know, I think...
What can you do?
The trash and stuff, as that begins to pile up, it's like, okay, I understand now where it becomes like either a safety, like a public safety issue. Mm-hmm. And I think those issues need to be dealt with. I'm not sure this is the way to do it. Like, taking someone's shopping cart away, whether they stole it or not, and how are you going to prove that this dude stole this shopping cart, like, whatever, as opposed to, like, just found it, or, you know, how does that do anything good other than, like, making this guy a criminal that then we have to sort of pay for? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I don't see how it's a real solution. I mean, it's a solution that, like, if I told it to you, then you would go, well, yeah, he's doing something for us, you know? Like, it's concrete in that, like, he can now go, I'm trying to do something.
I'm trying.
And that's cool. I mean, and that's the thing. Like, you read this this column, and, you know, you really get a sense of, like, well, he, you know, he's going to these public meetings, he's talking to people, and he's trying to be responsive to his constituents. And so, like, I get that. That's awesome, you know, and I give him credit for that. But I don't think that, like, this sort of negative wordplay of, like, renaming, you know, homeless people into vagrants, you know, so that we can then, like, we don't have to treat them like people anymore, right? Because, well, they're vagrants. They're not, like, homeless people.
Bad.
They're, you know, vagrants. They're dirty. They're, you know, and the things that are illegal, stealing, you know, whatever, we have systems in place to deal with that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't need to, like, criminalize more things. We don't need to make it...
Yeah.
I don't feel like we need to make it a crime for someone to have a shopping cart.
No.
We definitely can't make it a crime for someone to be homeless, because what do you do, like, what do you do with that? Then we...
Then you're just going to put them in jail.
Right. And then
give them a home.
You know? And we already have too many people in jail. So, anyway. So, Clint Olivier, I applaud you. Question mark?
Golf clap.
I mean, I do.
Half clap.
I really do. In one way, I applaud him because, you know, he is taking a stand, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's an issue that he thinks is important. It is important. And so starting the conversation is good. So I will give him that. There it is. That's
Olivier.
Thank you, Clint.
Well, I think it is time for
Band of the Episode. Ah, cool. And who is it? I don't know. I do.
Tokyo Death March.
Yes.
One of my favorite all-time bands, local bands.
That's no longer a band.
No longer a band. But
I mean, I guess they are.
Yeah.
Still, because they're getting together.
They're getting together to play Spamspec. So Spamspec is Friday. Saturday. Spamspec is Saturday, October 24th.
Out in Arosi.
Out in Arosi.
Go to it if you've never been.
Spamspec.com. And...
fucking all-star lineup.
SPANSPEK.com.
Yeah.
And this is...
Let's play
this
song.
Let's play some Tokyo. We'll be right back. love them.
They are, to me, the quintessential Spandex band.
Yeah?
I mean, I guess they played before at Spandex. But they're just one of those bands. See, this is what I think that like Spandex was really good at. It is good at. Cristobal and Israel, like hooking in, like and finding like the coolest, hippest, up and coming talent, and being like, these guys are awesome. Check them out. You know, across genres, I think they really do a good job of like being able to say even before you know anyone else, like, oh, these guys are awesome. You know. I think they were on to Strange Vine before anyone else. I think they were on to like, you know, Slow Season. Definitely they were on to that Season before anyone else. You know, they just have a really good knack for like catching people right at that moment. Right. When like, and this year is the same way. They have Light Thieves, Kaleidoscope, who's going to be playing with the Roach Collective. I think that's going to be really cool. It's going to be like a live.
They've done a good job over the years. They keep doing it.
10 years.
They're beating this Fuse guys out. That's for sure.
Well, you know, the cool thing about Spandex is, and the reason that like I think they are able to continue and they will always be able to continue is because they're very clear about the thing that they're doing, and it's, you know, one day thing. It's in Erosi. It has a clear purpose for what they're trying to do, which is, you know, kind of raise some money for arts in the town.
Yeah. They even have a program for the donate, like part of the money goes to a student or a...
artist to...
No, now... when you get money for college, God dang it.
Scholarship.
Jesus. I'm not even drinking this episode.
I know.
This is like a completely 100% sober episode. I still can't think of words. So
yeah, no, scholarship money. And I think some of the money goes to curate a new piece of art every year. So they create, like, they hire a local artist to, you know, create a piece of art for them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really cool. To me, Spandex is like my favorite local music festival. I'm not going to be able to go this year, sadly, but.
Yeah, a couple of cool things to do on a Saturday is one is going to Spandex Festival. And the other is one of the more exciting things that have kind of come along in the past couple of years, Bitwise having their grand opening. Their stadium building.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I would like to have them on at some point here.
We should get. I bet Jake will come.
Jake and Irma
or somebody will come and talk.
That would be awesome.
Would really be awesome.
So because they're doing some.
We
cool
should actually get them to come on. Maybe not the next episode, but the following one, and talk about everything that they're going to have at Bitwise, because it is amazing. I like the stuff that they're going to have. It's just it's like, and we talk about this all the time, and I don't like doing this because, like, I don't think it serves the city well. But, you know, we always talk about, like, oh, that's so not Fresno, you know, and this is it. It's like Google, but
right.
In Fresno, you know, like that kind of idea of, like, the... what does Google call its little hangout? Like, you know, like it has this whole like
nest or something. I don't know.
Anyway,
but to bitwiseindustries.com if you want to see what the hell we're talking about here and when they will have them on the show. But it's exciting stuff what they're doing.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially doing it downtown too. Oh, I wanted to. Maybe I should save this for another time.
Let's get into it.
The Valley Public Radio, they're they're building a new
out and close.
But it's out and close. That bothers me. Is that something I should not be bothered by? Because it's Valley Public Radio.
Right.
You're allowed to go to Clovis.
Right.
But it just bothers me that they're leaving Fresno and building a new building because they survive on listener.
They're out there in North Fresno somewhere anyway now.
They're in Sean Valentine.
So, It doesn't bother me. Good for them.
Bothers me. Don't like it.
You wish they would build downtown or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why, if you're going to move, it seems like an entity that would be downtown. Like,
right. In Fresno.
Be the center of the valley in downtown. Right. Why go to Clovis? Well, and Clovis seems like that's not where where your audience is. Those people aren't giving you money. Right, are they? Right. Did they look and see, like, Clovis donates the most money?
Maybe the city did. Maybe the city was
better to them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Business-wise.
That just rubbed me the wrong way.
I'm sure that I don't know the full story about why. I think actually if you look, because I believe someone has brought this up before, and I'm sure that Joe Moore has talked about
it. Yeah, he's a huge Fresno guy. So
I can't remember. I would have to kind of look back. I'm sure somewhere there is some documentation that he said, you know, blah, blah, blah. But maybe he's another one we get on the show.
Yeah.
Once they have their... We never have guests, but we always talk about how we should have.
Yeah. Speaking of Spanspec, I totally should. You know, Chris Ball, they wanted to come on, but it was just the scheduling never worked out. So,
Spanspec. And support them all year round.
Because they do stuff all year round. Stuff like I would always wanted to do with these, but we just never have the time. They're making the time.
Go to spanspec.com and look at their blog. If you're into local music and you want to know, like, local releases, who's playing, like, local shows, et cetera, they are on top of it. I mean, they blog, and I think they have a podcast now, actually.
Yeah, they got a podcast now, too.
Where they talk about all that kind of stuff, local music stuff, art stuff. So it's, definitely check those guys out. They're on point.
Dude, have you been following the Club One bankruptcy thing?
I have not.
Okay.
I mean, yes. Well, yes and no. I know that it's happening.
Yeah.
But
they're not going to close, right? They're just trying to file for bankruptcy.
They have filed.
They have filed.
I don't know what that means. So,
what's with casinos around here, bro? We can't keep our casinos.
I don't know.
That would be a huge hit, though, for downtown if Club One closed.
Yeah, that would be terrible. I mean, it would really be terrible. I mean, A, they employ a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
B, on a personal level, it's just I like to go there and have food and hang out.
You don't even play cards or
ponies. Yeah, I don't care about any of that stuff. But I just like to go there and I have food and they have good food and it's all the time and the bar's there. It's 24 hours,
man.
I think that it's really nice to have it next to the hotel there.
Yeah.
I think they probably get a whole lot.
That would really hurt. It's Holiday Inn now, right?
I believe so. Yeah,
the change is so much.
I would think that Club One gets a lot of the tourists coming through and stopping there, and so. Yeah,
that would. We need to keep it going. Figure it out.
Yeah, hopefully, I think they figure it out in a way that allows them to stay open. And I mean, that's what the Chapter 11 bankruptcy proceeding is for, is to allow them to remain open while they pay off their $9 million debt or whatever it is. So,
do we care about the Fresno Unified controversy?
I mean, we should care.
I guess we should care. I'm not paying attention.
Yeah. It's funny.
It's not bringing me in.
Right.
Maybe it should. I don't know.
It should. I don't know if it should. I don't think that, like, it really will affect, like...
And we're talking about the Fresno Unified getting looked at
Harris
by...
Harris Construction lease back deal. And I think, there's a federal grand jury looking at it now.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the outcome of this, but the school district board just had a meeting to determine whether or not they should hire defense lawyers for the superintendent and other people, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a big deal. You're probably not pulled in because, like, I'm not sure how it affects students.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, for you.
Yeah, and
like,
I have a daughter in the Fresno Unified.
Fresno Unified.
I grew up in Fresno Unified.
Probably not going to matter.
I should care, but I'm just not. I'm just not paying attention
to it. This is a big deal in that. So it revolves around this, like, idea of lease back, right? And so when generally, and I don't know, I'm going to say a bunch of stuff as if I know what I'm talking about. I don't. I'm going to put that up front. Okay.
Yeah, don't get mad at Josh. Don't get mad at me. Just trying. Just trying, man.
So from what I can gather, right, is like when a school district wants to build a new school or they want to build an addition or whatever, they have to like send it out to bid. Like here's what we want.
Right.
Have the construction companies
how
send
cheap
us
can
in,
you do
yeah,
it for
how
us.
Cheap can you do it for us, right? And that's usually and then you go with whoever's cheapest or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. So leaseback is well originally I think the way that it was designed is maybe a school district didn't have $35 million to build a building, right? Mm-hmm. But they needed a building bad. They didn't have $30 million. They couldn't pass a bond or whatever. So they could do this leaseback deal where they would go to the construction company and they would be like, look, if you build us this building, we will pay you that money, but we'll pay you back like over time, mm-hmm. Right? So that way they could defer the construction costs over – however many years, and it would be that's the lease part, right? Like mm-hmm. they're essentially leasing the building from the construction company.
Okay.
Right?
Gotcha.
Okay. So, and a lot of school districts use this, and I guess like down in LA, it's a big deal. Like Los Angeles Unified used it because they mm-hmm. don't have a lot of money and blah, blah, blah. So what has happened, but I guess the laws aren't, I don't know if the laws are like, laws are laws, right? And I think they're just always like there's gray area and there's people who are real smart and they kind of figure out like, okay, we're going to do it this way until mm-hmm. someone says we can't. And so I think that's exactly what happened, you know? It's like Fresno Unified started using it. And essentially, you know, they would find whatever construction company that would do it for them. And I think a lot of times it's Harris Construction because they're like the biggest in the valley. And mm-hmm. they're the ones who can handle this kind of thing. And they would just say, okay, you do it for us and we'll do it this way. Well, on the latest building, the new middle school, maybe? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Some.
They're doing a lot of.
One of the new construction projects. I don't think it is Bullard, actually. Okay. But one of the new construction projects. So, man, it's so convoluted because the
we're with you. I'm still with you.
The reason that they got that this even came to be was because, at some point they hired the Fresno Unified hired Harris Construction to write, like their proposal, mm-hmm. like construction proposal or whatever. So they hired them kind of as an advisor. So saying like, all right, we want to build this school. Can you advise us on what we would need and how much that might cost for a construction company to do?
Yeah.
So Harris Construction put together this whole thing. Well, the way it was phrased or the way it was worked out was like, if you put this together, then you'll get the first right of refusal to do it, right? So like, you put this together for us, and it costs whatever. And they would normally have people do this anyway, I guess.
Yeah.
Right? And it costs a certain amount of money. So to save that money, I guess, they say, if you do this for us, then we'll give you the first right to come in mm-hmm. and bid or whatever. So Harris Construction puts together this thing, and then they get the contract.
Yeah.
In a leaseback deal,
mm-hmm.
right? But that leaseback deal isn't actually a leaseback. Like they're not actually leasing the property back to Harris Construction, right?
Yeah.
So, like, from what I can take from it is, they use like, okay, we're using this like leaseback. It's called leaseback or lease something. We're using this so that we can bring Harris Construction in and not have anyone else bid on it, right?
Right.
But we're not they're not actually using it the way that the law says they should.
Okay.
If that makes sense. And another construction company here in town actually sued and said,
okay.
wait a second, there was no bid on this, there should have been.
Mm-hmm.
Fresno Unified said, oh, we did a lease back. Then when they started looking into it, they were like, I don't think this is within the letter of the law.
And so started catching people's attention. And they're like, what are you guys doing over there?
Right.
And now everyone's looking at them.
And so whether or not they did anything wrong, who knows? I mean, depending on who you ask, like a lot of the school districts are saying, I don't think they did much wrong. A lot of the people who study the law are going, this is not the intent of the law. This is not how it was.
If I own a construction company, I'm pissed. I get why a construction company in town. Like, this is messed up. Don't be doing this.
Right.
But in general, the general public, I don't really care.
Here's the thing. So what the public should be concerned with is, are the school board trustees or the school board members, school board trustees getting something from the construction company? Because for the construction company, this is a big deal, right? Because they're making millions of dollars on this. So, are they doing it at the lowest possible cost to the,
taxpayer, whatever you want to say.
Are the school board trustees, is the school board superintendent getting something possibly from the construction company to make this happen for them?
Are they getting a box at the Grizzly game? Right. Or are they?
So,
are they getting the best table at Pismo's?
I think it's like that. Maybe something bad is happening, maybe not, but the perception is there could be, and that's all of it. Mm-hmm. And then, Fresno Unified, as they're looking into all this weird stuff comes up. Like, they use this phone app that erases your text messages after a certain amount of time.
Okay.
So there's a bunch of text messages
that are erased.
Right. And, the school board is going, we used it for a couple months. We found that it...
They're like, that's a little weird you used it during couple months.
We used it for a couple months. We found out it didn't really help us. But they can't say, why they thought it would be helpful to have this in. Yeah. Anyway. So there's a lot of weird stuff that's happening. Excuse me.
It's funky.
The rest of the state is watching this case because it will...
Because everyone else is going to get in trouble now.
Right, because it will determine how other schools can use this, and whether or not they're using it properly or whatever. So,
yeah. It sounds like a lot.
It is.
It's drawing...
I broke it down.
Yeah,
damn.
Bro. I think I stuck with it, too. It reminds me a lot of college... what happens, college recruiting this kind of
it's all that, yeah.
It's very similar sounding.
And actually, I think there's a really, I took all of my information. There was a story in the Fresno Bee not too long ago where they actually broke it all down.
For us dumb people.
Our education reporter.
Here you go, here's the breakdown.
And I think she did a really good job of talking to everyone and
I'll try and link to it in our show notes. So if you want to go further...
There it is.
I try and link all the key ones in our show notes. I think that's enough flowing.
I'm done.
It's time to plug it up.
All right. So go ahead.
I want to plug our original engineer of Flowing the Thing.
Okay.
It's Reed May.
All right.
Reed is he's out back east. He has a radio show that we can all listen to.
Whoa, okay.
Wednesdays.
It's an actual radio show. It's not a podcast.
No, it's a radio show.
All right.
Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for us. I believe it's 9 to 10. I believe it's just an hour, but it might be 3 hours. But it's at least from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m.
Okay. Uh-huh.
If you go to WGM... Is that Q or... WGMURADIO. WGM Radio. WGMURadio.com.
WGMURadio. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
WGMU. Okay. Radio.com.
Radio.com. And just, click on the Listen Live or whatever. And you can hear Reed
He
just plays music. He plays some really super cool music.
Awesome.
It's basically a DJ shift.
He does Reed stuff.
Yeah, Reed stuff Reed likes and stuff. And That's cool. I have listened to it once. I actually remembered. So like, put it in your calendar and like do an alert. Like Wednesday 9 a.m. Oh, turn on this.
I trust Reed's judgment.
Yep.
So
it's
about cool stuff, music, and
we definitely. You know, I miss Reed editing the show. So.
I think I miss Reed doing the work.
For yeah, doing the work and making it, because Reed would do extra stuff.
He would put,
if
little,
you guys remember,
little bouncy noises and whatnot.
WGMURadio.com.
Cool.
Wednesdays 9 a.m. Listen to Reed, and then of course all our other podcasts.
Dorktown, the whole
Dorktown podcast.com. Our little comedy show, bi-weekly comedy show,
hilarious.
The Perfect Pour, our weekly craft beer show.
I love it.
And then Get Off My Podcast, where we just did a special episode to break down the new trailer for Star Wars.
So good. The Force Awakens. Did you cry?
I choked up. Yeah. I choked up, but I didn't cry on this one.
I got real excited.
Because I didn't want to, because I was with my daughter and wife, and I didn't want to cry in front of them.
No, you can't do that.
So,
especially for like at a...
Yeah.
But it looks so good.
Yeah, I did. I did well up because I told my daughter, I was all, she's 7. So this is what, she's at the age when I saw Star Wars. So I'm like, I was just like, remember this.
Remember this day.
Remember this, daughter.
Right.
And so, pretty psyched. So,
Go to that if you want to hear a breakdown of the
GetOffMyPodcast.com, or just look for Get Off My Podcast. And the same thing you're listening to this show on.
Yeah.
Whatever app you're using for this, if you are using that. And there you go. And we're on Twitter, Get Off My Podcast on Twitter. Cool. That's basically our only social media out there on.
Fair enough.
Maybe what's going on with the It'll Grow Backs?
So I'll plug my band, It'll Grow Backs. The album is still, it's happening. All the stuff's done. We're just getting it finalized. So, and I think, fingers crossed, there's going to be tapes too, because tapes is a new thing. If you didn't know, cassettes.
Yeah.
Cassettes are big.
Cassettes.
So we found there's actually this really cool, Burger Records, which is a record label down in L.A., they have a subsidiary called Wiener Records, and Wiener Records is I think they're tape only, but what's awesome is they totally just accept anything. So like, So essentially what happened was like Burger Records was doing all their stuff and everyone loved them, and they were getting so many demos in all the time that they couldn't deal with it. They're like, screw it, man. We can't go through all these, so we'll just make a subsidiary record label where whoever wants to do it can just send us money, send us art, and we'll put it together. We'll put it out on our website. We'll sell it in our store just like we would on Burger Records, but it's just, you know, everyone putting the onus on the band to sort of do it. So it's really cool. I think we're going to do that. We just have to get all the stuff together. But then we'll have tapes, we'll have CDs, we'll have tapes, so that's going to be really cool. I would expect that could be, man, as early as November. But if not, I mean, December, I think, is when we'll do, like, the official kind of blowout party thing. So, and then we have a show, a big show coming up. This one we're super excited to be playing. It's the John 5 show. He's the guitarist for Rob Zombie. So he's playing at Fulton 55 with Doyle. Who's the guitarist for the Misfits, and it's this big show. Art Silva's doing it, so we kind of jumped on board with him to get on that show. So that'll be a big show. That's happening at the Fulton 55 in November, and that's one of those things where if someone listening to this, and I'm going to make the plea because Art would be happy about it, I think. You know, if someone's listening to this and they're like, oh, I want to go... you can contact the band. We have tickets to sell. They're also at all the places you can find tickets, like the ticket vendors or whatever. But if you want and like you want to help us out, or you know us personally, we got tickets to sell. So
cool.
There it is. And then the other thing is my job at the Fresno Bee, FresnoBeehive.com. I am on vacation for a bit, so I might be. It'll be sporadic for like the next month. How much you see from me, because I am literally on vacation on and off all the way from now through November.
They make you take them before the year's over?
Right. You can't carry
right,
them over.
Right.
And, you know, this is how I am about vacation. I don't care. And so, you know, we get about halfway through the year and it's like, hey, you need to start taking vacation.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So then it all piles up at the end. So anyway, it will be sporadic, but there's lots of stuff that I'll be covering, and you can always check in there for Band Geek and all the mm-hmm. different things that you love, or just tweet to me and whatever.
Yeah.
There it is. So.
Boom.
Yeah.
Well, before we go, real quick, a prediction.
Ah.
El Nino, is it going to be for reals, or is it going to be a DU?
Yes.
Your prediction, before it all happens,
yes,
we will have a huge El Nino year. Is
yes.
that your prediction?
My prediction, yes.
We will get wet.
It's going to be crazy.
It's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know
when that'll happen.
Yeah.
Year, are we talking?
Right, this season, this rain season.
I think soon. I think it's going to hit soon.
Winter,
it's gonna be,
winter.
We're already seeing it.
Yeah.
It's
like,
already coming.
We'll look back in June and say, were we right?
Yeah. Whoa.
I think so. I think it's not going to be as big as they're predicting, but it's going to be the best year we've had in a long time.
Are you speaking specifically to us? Like us in Fresno?
Fresno, yeah.
Okay.
Not California.
I still say it's going to be big.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be crazy.
December's going to be bad. I think December's going to be full bore.
All right.
And that's going to be the month to look out for.
There you go.
There, yeah.
And on that, I will bid you a fond farewell. And I'll count it out 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.